Muller House Meeting, Saturday morning, 24th September 1977. You have heard me say that this psychophysical organism which bears our name is one meaning of the Garden of Eden. For us, as we are, it is perhaps the more important meaning. There is another meaning also. What applies to us as microcosms applies also to the totality of manifestation, the macrocosm, the whole cosmos as such. And whilst within us there is the tree of life in the middle of the garden, as well as the tree of good and evil, in that selfsame place in the middle of the garden, there is only the tree of life as such in the macrocosm, the total cosmos. This total cosmos is alive, every bit of it. There is nothing that is not alive. We are so brought up and taught that we think of life in biological terms, principally. But the word life in the old scriptures of the world, as taught by the perfected holy ones, applies to all that exists without exception. You will find, for instance, in the Chandogya Upanishad, this wonderful statement: Brahman, the absolute all, is prana, life, life power, creative energy. Brahman is the void, not to be regarded as that which is a vacuity, containing nothing whatsoever. It is the void of the nature of self-containment. When we ourselves are complete and perfect, we are void of all that limits, all that is evil. But we remain self-contained. In that sense, not in the sense of a box containing things, Brahman is void, and Brahman is bliss. Brahman is the tree of life also, therefore, or to put it in our ordinary English language, the one total reality is life. Now, with us because something new had to emerge into manifestation, namely this power of looking within ourselves and starting our long journey out of the limited animal awareness in which we started to full, total consciousness. And therefore we had to develop this discriminative consciousness which we have, separating this from that, the good from the bad, the kind from the cruel, and so on, thereby introducing conflict into our lives till we transcend it all. Because of this, in plucking the fruit of the tree of life, of which the gods eat quite freely without any ill consequence, we, not being yet sufficiently prepared, plucked the tree of life and scarred that tree through our discriminative consciousness, which has not recognized yet, even today the mankind has not recognized what is the goal of his development and its fulfillment, namely the realization by transcendence of itself as perfect man through us. See, therefore that is our fundamental ignorance and blindness. And it is towards the freeing of our vision, the perfecting, by perfecting this limited self, that the whole process goes on until once again this tree of life will stand in the body of man, the unscarred tree. And its fruit will be that awareness, that mode of existence, that awareness of existence, which means that once again we are in complete communion within the total body of creation. So now, the creative process throughout the cosmos goes on unceasingly. This creative process is like a vibration. It's hard to compare it to anything earthly and mortal that we know of. It's an extraordinary pulse of creative activity. This creative activity, this pulse, we may compare to what we call a sound. Just as a musical note has a rate of vibration, this sound, this rate of vibration is the eternal song of life. I say eternal because it is transcendence itself, and transcendence knows no limitation in terms of space, time and matter. And therefore time is completely subsumed, taken up into the timeless. It is in that sense that I use the word subsumed. It is completely taken up into the timeless. If you want to look deeper into the meaning of the word subsumed, recall how in Christian scriptures it is said of Jesus that the manhood was taken up into the Godhead. In that sense, subsumed. That is why we are held always within transcendence, whatever we do. And transcendence sings the song of life eternally. Listen for that song of life. You will hear that song of life if you don't expect anything, because that song cannot be analyzed, cannot be described by us. Any song that we know is in terms of time. The rhythm of transcendence is unrestricted by the beat of time. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, if you can feel that song of life in its eternity, if you can be so quiet and still that it suddenly is there, and you don't hear it with your ears, but I can only use the word hear. If you hear it with the eternal spirit within you, you will discover something very strange about that song. That song of life in eternity sounds all its tones at the same time. All its tones are there together at once. Its tones are the differences, as we call them, which we with our limited vision and hearing can see in the cosmos, see and hear in the cosmos. So for us there are different sounds. But our seeing takes place no faster than the speed of light. Our hearing takes place no quicker than the speed of sound. A mere 300 meters or so per second. But that sound is something which is simultaneous throughout the cosmos. And what we see as the difference is something that takes place totally in terms of eternity, which you can't split up. And yet, it is a multitudinous, incalculably multitudinous variety of sounds, and they are all together. And there is something else which is very curious. When you hear that sound, it makes no noise. It is a silent tone. And that is the meaning of silence in its profoundest sense, as far as I can present it to you. That silence contains all that we understand sound as sound. And we understand it as sound only in terms of differentiation, separation. Whereas that is the undifferentiated sound. That is why in its creative activity it produces a cosmos which manifests the life of the eternal. If that sound were heard if all those sounds were heard simultaneously at this moment by us as we are, it would completely shatter us. In fact, it would shatter the cosmos too, if it was sound in our sense of the word. Because it would be a predominant vibration which breaks down manifestation. Overwhelming vibration. You know, if you're marching over a bridge, you break step, otherwise the rhythm of it becomes so terrific that the bridge breaks down. It's a little bit like that. But listen to that song of life. By being quiet, quiet inside. You may be talking, you may be driving a car, but if in your innermost awareness there is this silence, that silence will be that single tone which is the song of life itself. And you will find that the brain will become quiet then, in the midst of turmoil, bustle, noise all around. Be very careful not to be self-deceived. This is the difficulty which arises when this sort of thing is written down or a speaker speaks it. If the ideas appeal to you, then one's own desire to experience it crops up. But if my desire is present there, the divine is silent. I cannot hear that song. You see? Not my will, but thine. Not my desire, but thy creative activity, in which all my desire, which is the potentiality of transcendence within me, will get fulfilled. You see how different selflessness is from unselfishness. Unselfishness is merely the opposite of selfishness, and the two are in conflict. But when you transcend the self, when you transcend the whole self, you have transcended the opposites. Conflict is out. The tree of good and evil, at least for the time being, inside your being, has become the tree of life. The pure tree of life, unspoiled, unscarred. You see, the magic, I'm using that word deliberately, the magic of religion, the religious life, and the vision which comes into being. True vision, unspoiled by merely aesthetic, imaginative activity. Imaginative activity deludes us. Imagination has its play in our lives, in our childhood. It is necessary for the psychical growth of the child in a right and a happy way. But when you come to, when you're approaching spiritual and psychological adulthood, maturity, then imagination and all intellectual acquisition is a burden, it is a drawback, it deceives. because we never know unless we learn this, that all this belongs to the realm of the finite and the mortal. It is not the reality of eternity, of the one total reality. See, that's why imagination has to be, you have to be beware of it, be careful. Otherwise, imagination which functions within the bounds of the self will spoil the truth and spoil the beauty, the real order, that eternal order which is expressive of the creative action in eternity of this primordial creative power, this creative energy, to which we have given so many names: God, transcendence, the infinite, whatever you like. So, listen. Listen silently, without expecting anything, without wanting anything. It will happen. It will come to you. Truth, beauty, the reality, the supreme thing within us, which we may call man, will suddenly come upon you. In this sphere and state, you don't have to seek the beloved. You haven't to long for the beloved. Because if you do, then there is a separate I longing and seeking another, which is called the beloved. When the self is unselfed, totally unselfed, suddenly the beloved is there. It is like that. You see, what we who have evolved out of the animal are growing towards. It may take some millions of years, who knows, for mankind, all mankind in the world, to fulfill this. But there are always those microcosms which, by the grace of the eternal, if you like, somehow come to fruition, to fulfillment. Don't try to manufacture explanations of why that is so. They may satisfy intellectual curiosity, but all those explanations are faulty or they are positively wrong. So don't seek explanations there. That is why they say, shut your eyes, look down in the presence of God, because that light will blind your eyes. Similarly, listen to this song in the right way, and its vibration will not shatter you. It will sustain you and release you into the transcendent realm of the ultimate real, whatever that may be. I have said that this single tone creates the cosmos. It is that same tone which gradually withdraws the cosmos into primordial chaos. But this withdrawal is not a process merely in time and space. It is a timeless activity which goes on. It is free of the limitations of distance and separation. If you can sense that, you will get an idea of the deeper meaning of space, especially as used in the old days in the East. That Sanskrit word akasha, which is translated as space, is not just our ordinary modern conception of space, something which contains the galaxies and the suns and the stars and so forth. It is something else. This space is actual being. It is substance almost. So this withdrawal takes place in a mysterious way. And again, to make the mystery more extraordinary, it happens simultaneously with the creation of cosmos. Now perhaps you may understand a little bit better this thing which people in the past called life-death as the creative pulsation, which I prefer to call life-other life. How? You see, when I make a gesture like this, obviously there is separation. But it is an inflowing and an outflowing together at the same time. Imagination can't visualize it. Sometimes when you see on something like television this sort of vibrating movement going inwards and going outwards, our eyes usually separate out the two movements, although they are absolutely simultaneous. You see, it is like that. It happens simultaneously. If you can feel this, you will understand how and why the microcosm, you yourself, I myself, am totally contained in the macrocosm, the whole cosmos. And the whole cosmos is also embodied in me, the microcosm. So, it is impossible to break the relationship with transcendence, with God or the infinite or whatever word you like. It's impossible to break it. We can hide it, like the clouds will come and hide this indescribable beauty of Elma on a morning like this. Clear sunshine and the mountains and everything speak another message. Supposing we are taken up into this state, and supposing this creative activity, this cosmos, this spirit of life were to talk to any one of us like a human being talks in language, what sort of language would transcendence use? Transcendence is the alone. And when we are taken up into this kind of condition, we also, microcosmically, individually, are the alone. Not lonely. If I am lonely, I feel separateness. I feel I am cut off from all the rest. But when I am truly awake to the fact that I am the alone, then I am in total relationship. I am in perfect rhythmic at-one-ment with the transcendent alone. If you can appreciate this, you will understand why, as part of the discipline of the Holy Ones, they always went apart for a time during the day or the night in order to commune, to meditate, to pray. This is the real deep meaning of prayer. This mystery of the interaction of the alone which is oneself with the alone which is God. Now supposing God speaks in our language, and he speaks only through the presence of his feminine aspect, his active aspect is feminine, is what we call mistakenly, or well, we can choose our words of course, which we call the negative. And just think of the actual fact in matter, the atoms which have a positive nucleus and negative electrons revolving around it, associated with it. And it is those negative electrons which are the active part and determine the properties and modes of manifestation and activity of that particular chemical element. That is why I call nature the bride of God. She is the one that does all the work. He is the one that inspires and is the source of the power which nature wields just through presence, that inspiring presence. And because it is just through sheer presence that there is perpetually through the universal process this thing which is the immaculate conception. And that immaculate conception constantly expresses itself as a perpetual virgin birth. So nature, the mother, ever producing, remains the immaculate, unstained virgin. Now you see, this is the origin of the religious teachings with regard to marriage and its sanctity and so forth. In the lives of some human beings this gets fulfilled, but only some, fulfilled with a wonderful perfection. And if the spirit of life speaks, especially with a day like this which is very favorable, if we walk out alone, meditatively, you might hear that voice say, I move in the waters and the air and sustain your life. I stay still in the mountains and give you power and the strength and will to stand on your own feet and realize the aloneness within you. My invisible glory soars to the zenith, out from the topmost peaks. Try and sort of feel this as we go on. Feel it right now. And draws your aspirations unto me and teaches you silence. Now, here as you are, you see only the reflections of me. The handiwork of the bride of God is but the reflection of that inspiring power. But you will know the substance of me when you live wholly open to my most benign and gracious messenger, death. Death, the other life, not death as the disruptor. The disruptor, the breaker up in illness, not merely physical, but the illness of the soul, breaks up the form, which has outgrown, which has outlived its usefulness, and its function of being the true representative of the eternal. My most benign and gracious messenger, death. Feel it out, and you will be at home in this pulsation of life, other life, life, other life, which takes place simultaneously. And if you don't obstruct death, then you will find that your awareness will get more and more in rhythm with that indescribable vibration of transcendence itself. It will never be like it, because then the form, the living form, cannot stand that. It will break. But you can be in tune with it. Just as if you are sounding the note do or re here in the bass with few vibrations, you can be in tune with do or re some octaves higher up, not out of tune with it. In that way, you can feel it and know it. And it is that messenger who brings to you the wine of eternal life. Don't obstruct that messenger. Goes on, he's there perpetually. And you might hear that voice say, beloved son, my living image, I am God. No words or thoughts reveal me when all thy selfness is gone. Separate selfness is gone. Thou wilt know me because you are me. When selfness is gone, then pure love, this transcendental love, which is God, which is the great creative, the activity of transcendence bringing into being the cosmos, that transcendent love will fill your whole being and make you my living substance.